Good morning. Nice, bright, sunshiny day.
Don't mind me.
Okay. As Paul would say, peace be with you. A couple of announcements, not many. As you noticed in the bulletin for this week, the announcement is relax, recover, rejoice. Peace on earth. The service at Waterview Pines has been canceled. I sent out an email to everybody. Not everybody, obviously, so that you know. This afternoon, because they had COVID with some of the residents there again this week. The other coming events you can take a look at. But again, this is a week of relaxation and recovery. We have two, Kathy and I have two celebrations this week. Tomorrow we celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. And then, of course, New Year's. Tomorrow's going to be more fun than New Year's. New Year's is, to me, is just another day in the on the calendar or in the week. So, if you would, stand with me and let us begin our service with the call to worship. You'll discover that we're singing Christmas carols, Christmas hymns again today. Rejoice in the Lord always.
I will say it again. Rejoice.
Let your gentleness be evident to all. Do not be anxious about anything. And the God of peace will be with you. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Hymn number 165, Away in a Manger. Alternate to our Father, we're just so grateful to be able to come together to celebrate you and your Son, Jesus. As we begin our time of worship, we connect our hearts and our prayers with our brothers and sisters who are traveling, with friends, with family, aren't able to be with us today, those who might be ill or just not able to get around because of the ice. And so we join our hearts with them as we come into your presence to honor you, because they really are with us in spirit. As we meet together, Lord, bless us, minister to us, help us to honor you and to acknowledge you as our God, the God Jehovah, Most High and Holy, with the Son, Jesus, Most High and Holy. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is Psalm 148. You can find it on 488 in your pew Bible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle. Small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nation, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel and people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. Our second reading is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. That's on page 783 in your pew Bible. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. Light of revelation of the Gentiles, and for glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what he said. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the fall and raising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophetess, Anna, and her daughter Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to whom all were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So ends the reading of God's word.
We continue the story of Jesus into the new year. like to ask the ushers to come forward at this time to receive our offerings. Just as a reminder again, we believe that the Lord speaks to his people and that we give to the Lord with a thankful and grateful heart whatever the Lord puts on our heart. Our Lord God is our provider. Shall we pray together? Our Father, we're just so grateful for pouring out your blessings upon us in so many ways. Forgive us for the times when we look on the bad side of things and wonder. But in it all, Father, we are so grateful for the thread of your love that courses through our lives and our families. So we ask that you would receive these offerings from hearts of love and gratefulness to you, because we do honor you. Through Jesus, our Lord, your Son. Amen. And in response to our giving, we sing thanks to God with the doxology. Would you stand with me? You may be seated. Let's pray together. This morning, Father, we want to pray for our families. We are grateful for the opportunity of being in families, with parents, brothers, sisters, children, sometimes grandchildren and sometimes great-grandchildren. We consider it an honor, Father, that you have placed us in these families or this family. We consider it an honor because we can be a light and we can be an influence, and we can be a blessing, and we can provide peace in this crazy, mixed-up world. We thank you for the privilege of being able to be a foundation for a family that people can look to find you. We know, Lord, that we don't do it right all the time and we don't do it perfectly. But we also acknowledge that you live in us. Your Holy Spirit lives in us. Your love lives in us. And we know that even beyond us and our mistakes, our choices, beyond us, you work anyway because you flow through us. It is our prayer today, Father, that you would take our witness in any form that it has taken through the years. Take our witness and minister to our families and each of the members of our families. Ignite it in their heart that they would seek you and seek you more. We ask this, Father, because our families are very dear to us. And it's really, really important to us that we desire that they find salvation and that they are with us in heaven after all is said and done. So we pray for them and know that you can work in their lives. We don't believe in us and our witness as much as we believe in you and your power. Surprise us with those blessings. For our family members that are struggling with illnesses, we ask that you would be with them, and we do ask for healing and ministry to them with comfort and strength and encouragement, the ability to go on despite the obstacles. For any who are struggling financially, we ask that you would bless them and help to resolve their situation. For any who are struggling in their relationships with their spouses, their children, maybe even grandchildren, today we would ask, Father, that you would give them peace, and that that peace flowing through them would minister to those relationships. We thank you for the ability to trust you beyond ourselves. Forgive us for our humanness, failings, errors, bad choice of words, attitudes. And again, beyond us, take your love and grace and mercy that flows through us and minister to them beyond what we do. You are the great God, able to do exceeding abundantly, even beyond what we ask, which we've done today, beyond what we think could even possibly happen. You're able to do beyond that. And so we thank you that we can trust you and that with joy we can look forward to the blessings that you would provide in the lives of our families. So we thank you for that, Father, through Jesus, who makes it possible. Amen. If you would turn with me to hymn number 159, Angels from the Realms of Glory. I have piles of books and piles of Bibles this morning. And plenty of time to look at them all. Once again, would you pray with me? Father, this morning we're going to talk about your peace in our lives. And we're going to talk about your blessing. So as we begin, we receive your peace and your blessing. Without you, and without you, Jesus, we have nothing. Be in us everything this morning and each day ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the recent holiday stretch is over. I don't know if you feel the same way that I do, but this year we hosted both Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it seemed like a marathon with a little space in between. So the question is, are you recovering? Maybe you don't need to recover. Are you rebalancing after the holidays, the highs and lows of the holidays and the challenges? Are you searching for peace? Are you searching for God's blessings? I'm human, and my emotions have been up, down, and sideways for a few weeks. Times of excitement, love, and joy. Times of frustration, anxiety, to be honest with you. And now the new year is upon us, and the challenge of, and I don't know why this is a challenge, but everybody talks about it. The new year is going to be a new, starting all over again. All the past is gone away. 2024 is gone, and now we have 2025. I don't know what difference that makes. And I don't know what difference it makes to do those New Year's resolutions either. So, my question to start with this morning, because we're going to talk about peace and blessing. Will there ever be peace on earth? Hold on to that question, because there's an answer to it. You probably right away would say no, because Jesus said there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars. There hasn't been peace like forever. I think Dr. Jeremiah consulted a historian and looked at all of history, and there's just only been a few years that the world has never had a war going on. And we've got wars going on right now. And he said the number of years, I don't remember what the number was, but it was very few in the history of time, of humanity, that there haven't been wars and rumors of wars. In fact, Jesus in Luke 12:51 said, I did not come to bring peace. And he followed that up by describing the conflict that would be in families because we're believers. And you may have experienced that. I certainly have. Conflicts, challenges. That's why we pray for our families. Because we aren't adequate to reach our families. That's the truth. We're not adequate. God's the one who's got to do it. And so he's got to use some of the stuff that we do and say and our behavior and our attitudes and so forth. But if that's all he had to work with, we're in deep trouble. He works beyond us. And Jesus followed that up in John 14:27 by saying, even though I did not come to bring peace to the earth, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. He said that to his disciples. I believe that to be true. I believe that when Jesus left this earth, he left peace here. And so that anyone who grabs a hold of Jesus as their Savior gets that peace along with it. And maybe you remember way back when you became a Christian and you felt that dynamic peace in your emotions. You felt it. And it's real, but over the years, it's kind of, you know, become commonplace and you don't feel it as much. Perhaps. I'm reminded of Billy Graham's Crusades and those three words, peace with God. And his little booklet, which had the steps in there that we used. We were trained to use it, and we used it to lead people to Jesus. And it was called Peace with God. That was something that Billy Graham really felt was very important message. And we have many messages of salvation, but he felt that those three words were probably the most important. We know that Jesus is peace. We know that we have peace with God. So this brings me to something that we don't think about very much, and that is the power of peace. We already know in Colossians 3:15 that the peace of God rules our heart, or at least the choice in Colossians 3:15 is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. And you may have heard that word, rule, means umpire, makes the decision. And I don't know if you actively do that or not, but I do. When I'm facing a decision, I try to find out between the two choices, where do I feel peace? And I use that to make those decisions. I'm human, so it doesn't always work. I want to turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, to take a look at the power of peace. Luke 10. Verse 5 and 6, when you enter a house, first say, and I'll bet you don't do this, I don't do this, first thing out of your mouth when you enter a house, peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. So in a minute, we're going to get to some practical ways of how to do that, because we don't, and you know, person opens the door and we say, peace be with you. We don't do that. We say hi, we say hello, we say good seeing you again, maybe we give hugs, maybe we do handshakes or something like that. And I'm not sure Jesus meant to say exactly those four words, peace to this house. I think more he meant an attitude that we can project to people. We might say, good to see you again. Projecting from our heart that it really is good to see you again. In contrast or comparison maybe to homes that we go to and we're thinking, oh my gosh, we got to go there. We have to go there. You know, I don't want to go there. And I'll put on my best face, do the best that I can. But some homes we go to, we really feel that joy, that happiness. This is just going to be fun to be with these people again, whether it's our kids or our family or grandkids. Grandkids get a special bonus love from us, of course. So there's power in peace Jesus says, if you give peace to the house and the person receives it, it will rest on them. These aren't just words. Jesus is talking about actual peace, an actual thing that transfers from us to people, or can transfer from us to people. Now, we've talked about peace before, several times, because the word, if this was written, if Jesus was speaking in Hebrew, and I believe he was, we have it in Greek because that's how it was written down, but I believe Jesus talked in Hebrew Aramaic to his disciples, he would have used the word shalom. You're familiar with that. We've covered that before. And remember, shalom is this huge word that says, I wish every good thing for you. Peace included, prosperity, health, happiness, joy. That's what the word shalom includes. And again, peace is included in that. In fact, that's the primary definition of the word shalom. All of that sounds more like a Christmas card or maybe a New Year's card, doesn't it? Peace be with you. How does that work? Because we have peace. Jesus has given it to us. And yes, he's telling us we can give it away. Isn't that cool? Is there ever going to be peace on earth? Well, the answer to the question is yes, we are the peace on earth. If you look at it technically, that's the only place where there is peace on earth is with us, Christians. Believers. There's not peace in politics. We found that out for sure, didn't we? There's not even peace in religion. Just found out a few weeks ago that the Baptist Church up in Ely split. There isn't peace in the world. And if you were out grocery shopping this week, anybody else out grocery shopping this week, there was not peace in the stores. It was like crazy hectic for some reason. And people during the holidays rushing around. I don't know if you notice it or not, but people drive faster just before Christmas. More anxiety, more stress, no peace. And I take notice of it because, of course, it affects me. And I try to make the choice of, no, I'm just going to take it easy, keep on my speed limit. I'm one of those people that people get annoyed at because I drive the speed limit. They get behind me and then they have to drive around me. And I found a trick when we did our long travels to and from Alabama. The interstates are 70 miles an hour, and I found out if I drove 68 miles an hour, I wouldn't have to pass anybody, and the people who wanted to go fast just went fast and went around us anyway. Nice, peaceful drive. We are peace, and we can give peace. Now I want to talk about the second word, blessing. Another very practical gift that we can give. You probably noticed after the last few months I've been doing something kind of odd. When I'm greeting people, I say, blessings. Blessings on you, Bill. Bless you. Shake hands and say, bless you. I first encountered that down in Alabama. The very first few years we went down there, we would go through to the grocery stores and get our groceries and pay for it and get it in the cart to take it out for to the car, take it back to our home, temporary home. And the clerk who just checked out our groceries said, "Have a blessed day." And that happened so much for us down there, and I thought, we should do that. That's something that's really cool, the words. But I didn't understand the impact of the words at that time. I just thought it was kind of a cool thing to do. In Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 27, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." And then he goes on to some descriptions. If somebody slaps you on one side, turn you. If somebody takes your coat, give them your shirt and so forth. If somebody asks you for something, give it to them. If an enemy asks you for a loan, lend it to them. And don't expect to get repaid. Pretty challenging stuff, because I don't lend very easily. But I have learned through the years working with folks in need that when I give, it's not a loan. They argue it with me sometimes. Recently, one of the guys that I gave some money to said, "I'll pay you back. I'll pay you." "No, you don't have to pay me back." "Well, I insist on paying you back." "Okay, that's your opinion. My opinion is it's a gift." So that's what he's talking about there. But then he gets down to verse 38. And this is the reason. "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use to give, it will be measured to you." So both with peace and with blessing, the measure that we use to give it out, that's the same measure God will use to give it back to me. Or as Peter describes in 1 Peter 3:9, "Give a blessing instead of a curse." I know. Situations happen, pops up in your mind, that rascal. And sometimes I'm driving and somebody does something, and I'll actually say it. "You turkey." Pops up. Give a blessing instead. So what is a blessing? We know what peace is. It's shalom. It's I'm wishing you every good thing possible. And so when I say, "Peace be with you," I'm wishing every good thing possible that God has for you. But what is blessing? The Greek word is our word, eulogize. No, not having to do with a funeral. That's where we use eulogies nowadays. But in the Greek, it was used in common language, eulogize. And what is a eulogy? A eulogy is kind of fun, isn't it? You hear all these good things about this person. Wouldn't you just love it today? If somebody would take about, let's see, how long is a eulogy? Maybe 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Wouldn't it be just cool today if somebody just stopped and for 3 minutes told you everything good about you? Probably never happened, right? But that's what eulogy is talking about. That's what blessing is. every good thing about you, not the bad things, every good thing about you. So eulogy is to speak good of someone. So I'm sitting there minding my own business, and all of a sudden a person pops into my mind, and I think, boy, oh boy, that person really needs to get their life straight. As I've mentioned before, I'm a guardian of a person with mental illness and developmental disability. He doesn't understand money at all. So he's always asking for stuff. And so I see a phone call from him, and the first thing pops in my mind is, man, I wish he could understand money. He doesn't. He never will understand money. And so then I have to work at changing my attitude to thinking well of him. And my thinking well of him basically goes the line of, Mike, why are you mad? He doesn't understand money, never will understand money. He is making a request without any basis of knowing whether there's money for paying it. And so when you respond to him, and usually I don't answer the phone on the first call because I have to process this through. So when you respond to him in explanation. Here's the situation. You've requested this and you don't have the money to pay for it. Just be gracious and not that first response of, quit asking me for money. Quit asking me for things. Maybe you do that with kids too, because they don't understand money when you're raising your kids. And you just had to work at, okay, I've got to explain it again. And I know that can be frustrating. Thinking the best of someone. I want this guy to be in heaven. I took on guardianship because his grandmother, who raised him, his dad, criminal, been in prison probably all his life. We don't even know where he is right now. He probably still is in prison. His mother lived a similar lifestyle. I've never met his dad or mom. He doesn't even know where they are. So his grandmother took him over and raised him. And his grandmother, a Native American of the Anishinaabe tribe, found Jesus one time in her life. And she became a Christian and began to influence him toward Christianity. So I want to see him in heaven, so I want to give him blessing, and I want to give him peace in honor of his grandmother. There's two possible reasons to give peace and blessing. One possible reason is to get a return. That's a good reason, by the way, because we just read it in this book. Another possible reason is just out of gratefulness, because God has been so good to us. And that is one of the things I think of when I process through that. This is a place where the translation of the angel's message becomes really important. The angel's message on Christmas in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Very fine print. I'm going to try to find it and read it for you from the King James. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what many of us grew up with. That's not what that verse says. You can open your New International Version to Luke chapter 2, verse 14, and I'll read it. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. The angels weren't delivering a message that there would be peace on the whole earth. We know that now because there's just been wars and every mess up ever since. But the angel's message was that peace and blessing are to God's people, not just indiscriminate. And so because he's given peace and blessing to us, we can give it out. So, some homework assignments. I haven't given a homework assignment for a while. Well, at least not directly. Homework assignment. Greet people. Peace be unto you. Okay, that's a little too religious, right? Just say peace. Try it. I've tried it. It just stops people short. They don't know what to say after that. Peace. What does that mean? What's going on here? Just try it. It's kind of fun. Okay, that's not very practical. What we would do is we would say something like, good to see you again. Peace. The same thing, all right? Good to see you again. Or it's nice to see you. Or it's nice to be over here. Words like that. Connect those words with your heart that you want to give them the peace and blessing of God, and you've got it. The words don't matter as much as conveying the feeling that you have of your love and appreciation for them. And when you do that, of course, you have to overlook all the negative things that you know about them, too. Number two, homework assignment. We're very used to saying, Merry Christmas. What does merry mean? Have a good time? Maybe we should change it to have a blessed Christmas. Okay, that's past, so we can't do that. How about this week? Happy New Year. Happy New Year means we visit the bar, right? Is that what Happy New Year means? Well, a lot of people do. Okay. Happy New Year means we watch football. Maybe we should change it to have a blessed new year. That's really what we want for each other, right? 2025, we want everyone to be blessed, including our families, but each other as well in our church family. Number four, and it's an assignment we're going to do this morning before we leave church, a homework assignment we're going to do before we leave church. In fact, we're going to do it right after the next hymn. It's called our challenge blessing. Let me read it for you. You're going to find those two words in there. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We start singing it with a blessing and we end singing it with peace. Pretty cool, huh? Would you turn with me in your hymnal to 156? And we're going to sing about those shepherds who sent that message.
Thank you.
And in line with that last verse, peace to the earth be peace, goodwill henceforth from heaven to all. We are the messengers of that peace and that blessing. So now we get to sing it. If you'd stand with me, and kind of a homework challenge. When you sing this, blessing and peace, sing it from your heart to each other. We really do bless each other and give peace to each other.